Quick disclaimer. Number one, I'm no theologian. I don't have a master's in divinity. For years, I thought that meant you could make candy, but you know. Just saying, I was little then. But like I said, I'm no theologian. I've got no degree. What you get is what you get. I want to talk to you this morning about a word. And this word has a lot of different uses. It has a lot of different meanings sometimes to a lot of different people. But God loves this word because when we use this word, it's a call to action for Him. He loves this word because it brings joy. And I got to put my eyes on so I can see this, y'all. He loves this word. And when he hears it, his heart swells with joy. He loves this word because when he hears it, sometimes it's from the voice of a sin-sick soul needing a Savior. Sometimes when he hears it, it's from someone that needs a broken heart mend. Sometimes when he hears this word, it's because there's a life that's fallen apart and he can make it whole again. He loves this word because he can heal the sick. He loves this word because he can protect us from temptation. He loves this word because he can comfort those when they're grieving. And God loves this word because it's the start of what he created us for. And that's a relationship. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 and 18. Excuse me. Starting at verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." That word ceasing has or means to give up. The word cease means to quit, to stop, discontinue. But in this passage, it says to pray without ever giving up. Now, years ago, I used to think whenever it said pray without ceasing, I'm thinking 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. God, I ain't got that much to say. I talk, but I don't talk that much. But that's not what it means. What it means is whenever there are things going on in your life, it means to continually bring it to His throne. And when you pray, it brings joy. That joy that He wants you to rejoice in all the time. He wants you to pray continually, to lean on Him all the time, to call on Him repeatedly and often, and never giving up, looking to Him for help. So I guess if you ain't figured out what I'm talking about, the word is prayer. And it's hard to really have a relationship with God when you don't pray. I don't care how you slice it. If you ain't praying, how do you consider yourself having a relationship with God? I mean, you can read His word, but sometimes it takes a voice from Him to understand what that particular passage means. So it's hard to have a relationship without prayer. Charles Spurgeon said, "A prayerless soul," and hear me when I say this, "a prayerless soul is a Christless soul," which means if you're not talking to Him, how can there be a relationship with Him? So I got a question. Actually, I got two. Where are you in your prayer life? Where are you in your relationship with God? And I'm going to tell you, without one, you ain't going to have much of the other. And believe me, I have been there more than once. I've had to ask myself on different occasions, how is my prayer life? How is my relationship? So what I'm saying to you, I have said to myself 1,000 times. There was a time in my life that I lived in what I call the land of need of favor. And that's the land where you think you never need God until there's something you want. You know, I might have gone to church on Sundays. I walked out the door grabbing my Bible on the way out the door. And I did it just to make my appearance at church, say my how do you do's. As soon as the amens are said, I'm hitting the door. I walk back in the house, throw the Bible back on the table from where I got it, and I never touch it again until I decided to go back to church, which might not be the Sunday thereafter. But that's not a relationship. That is just you and your selfish, prideful way of making yourself think you've got a Savior. There's a song that came out in 2022, and the song was actually titled Need a Favor. And some of you may know the artist that did it. I know how he got the name. I don't know why he took the name. He calls himself Jelly Roll. Calling it like I see it. But the chorus of that song says, I only talk to God when I need a favor. I only pray when I ain't got a prayer. Forgive me for this part, but it says, who the hell am I? Who the hell am I to expect a Savior when I only talk to God when I need a favor? And back in those days, that song could have been my anthem. I resembled every word of that song in my early walk. The only time I ever prayed was for selfish reasons, not necessarily anything I needed or anything that God needed to give me. It was all about me, the things I wanted, you know? And I would pray, or unless I got myself in some kind of trouble and I didn't have no way out, and then I'd depend on him to try to get me out. Can't depend on him if he ain't there. He ain't gonna be there if I ain't got a relationship with him. But I would pray and pray and pray until I'd do everything I could until I exhausted everything that I had. And finally, I would give up. I would cease to pray. Sometimes I wonder how many of us are still in that state. How many of us are still there? But then as I grew in my walk with Christ, and yes, I did learn to walk, stumbled a lot, but I learned. And I tried to do what my pastors would say, and I tried to give God the first fruits of my day. I'd get up early, read my Bible, spend time in prayer. But I just couldn't get it together. I couldn't keep motivated enough to be able to do what I needed to do every day. It seemed like every time I turned around, there was some obstacle, and most of the time it was on me. I'd forget to set the alarm clock. Or I'd set the alarm clock, hit the snooze. Or whatever other thing I could think of not to get out of bed. I went to bed too late the night before, or whatever. But I tried and I tried and I tried. But it just never worked. There was always something in the way. And I'd get frustrated and I'd finally just give up. But you know, during that time, whenever I got up, finally got dressed, headed to work, I always had my Christian radio. And I'd sit there, and as I rode to work, I would sing, get to work, have it playing on my desk or wherever I was working at that particular day. And can I tell you, while that's good, I think, you know, that's great. But it's not a personal, intimate time with God. And I know that, you know, there are times that, you know, depending on what you're going through, there are days that that song, it just speaks to you. There are times whenever they may read a verse or they may say a prayer on that station, and it just speaks to you. And that's great, and that's good, but it's not the same. It's not the same whenever you meet him and you spend that time with no distractions. And then sometimes I wonder if that's not us today. But as my walk got better, I learned something. Matter of fact, Dennis and I were talking about it the other day. I learned to like the quiet. I like the getting up, going to that quiet place, and reading God's Word and spending that time just in conversation with Him, listening to what that still small voice may have to say, knowing all the while that He is smiling. Because he's getting what he wanted. He's getting exactly what he created me for. And that's a relationship with him. And I hope that's where we all are. So now I'm going to put some of you on the spot. Men, which of those applies to you? What's your prayer life like? What's your relationship with God like? You're supposed to be the spiritual leaders of your house. Are you praying with and over your family? Are you loving your wife as Christ loved the church? How is your relationship with your kids? How is your relationship with your church members? How is your relationship with coworkers? Are you involved in your church? If you're not, then spending that if you're not spending that intimate and quiet time with God, and you claim to be a follower of Jesus, maybe it's time to reevaluate your relationship, and you and God need to have a conversation. And men, if that relationship with God is anything other than the last example that I just gave you, that's not a relationship. It wasn't a relationship for me. It's a relationship that you're hoping God will be there when you've exhausted all other avenues. And ladies, this applies to you too. Just because your husband is the spiritual leader of your house does not exempt you from anything. So how is your prayer life? How is your relationship? Are you loving your husband? What's your relationship with your kids? What's your relationship with coworkers? Church? And young people, you're not exempt either. He wants to have that same relationship with you, and it doesn't matter how young you are. He wants to hear your voice. Where are you? And you know, it's hard to get into that routine and to give God the first fruits of your day. And it was for me. I struggled hard. But I can tell you that once you start and really get going, you'll come to realize that on that day that you don't do it, your day just doesn't seem right. There's something missing. And I also know that sometimes, even whenever you get into that, it comes a point of frustration because you're praying and it just seems like that God's not there. Sometimes that is because he's trying to test our perseverance. He's trying to test our commitment. My word is just keep praying. Pray without ceasing. And there could be other reasons why he may not be answering. Some unconfessed sin in your life. You need to approach him with a clean heart. Pride, selfishness, disobedience. There's a whole host of things. But I will tell you one of the things that gave me the biggest issue in my life. And that was a small hint of doubt whenever I went to pray. I'd start to pray and all I could have going through my head, is he listening? Does he hear me? Really? Is he going to answer? And I can tell you now that if you go to Christ with that mindset, you're defeated before you ever open your mouth. In James 1, verses 5 through 8, it says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So when you go to the Lord, when you go to pray, forget the doubt. Pray knowing that he hears and he's ready to answer in his time. There's a story in the book of Mark, the 7th chapter. There's this woman, she's Greek. And in chapter 6, Jesus is having to deal with a bunch of Pharisees over his disciples not washing their hands. Sound like a lot of our political stuff today. They argue over the minor stuff. But anyway, when Jesus gets through putting the Pharisees in their place, he takes off for this house. And this woman follows him into this house. And she has a daughter that is sick with an evil spirit. And as Jesus sits down, she falls at his feet. And she asks Jesus to heal her daughter. Jesus just sits there and looks, doesn't say a word. Quiet. But in verse 26, there's a key word in there, at least to me. And it says that she kept asking him. She was persistent. She was committed. And she stayed after Jesus. And he finally answered and healed her daughter. We have to be committed, persistent, keep praying. You know, earlier I gave you, this is where the hard part for me comes. Earlier I gave you a list of reasons why prayer is so important. He hears us when we pray, and I could give you a whole lot more reasons than those little things I gave you at the beginning. Because I didn't even scratch the surface, but I wanted to get it down to a little bit more of a personal thing. Things that, while they may not have happened directly to me, they happen to people that I love, people that I've had relationships with for years. And one of those, he loves this word when he hears a man and a woman while looking for a new home. Not sure they can afford it. But they kneel and commit that home to him. And he answers. He loves this word when he hears that very same wife in that very same house with a group of friends and family around her pray, and with the help of doctors that were treating her, that prayed over her and with them, beat one of the most aggressive types of breast cancer. He loves this word when he hears a woman who comes to a home group and they pray for her husband who doesn't come to the home group, he doesn't come to church, because he says that church people say one thing and do something else. Today, that man is an elder in this church. He loves this word when he hears a young man early in his ministry trying to build a church is frustrated. He's frustrated at the speed in which the church is growing, and he wasn't sure what God was doing. Today, that same young man is your lead pastor. He loves this word when he hears a 17-year-old young lady who was raised for 8 years in foster care, and through her persistence, found the dad that she'd only heard about, but had never seen. And today, because of that persistence, she has her dad, stepmom, three sisters, three nieces, two nephews, not to mention a whole lot of other family, blood, kin, or not, that claim her. But she would have never known this family had she not been persistent in her relationship with God. He loves this word because today, a young woman is going to stand. Where her mother once stood, and sing to the Lord. And he loves his word because he can fix a mess that two young kids created 47 years ago just because they didn't know how to be married. But praise God, they're married today. With all these examples of prayer, of answered prayer, that I just told you about, there's two things that are important. Those things are pray with consistency and commitment to your relationship with God. Without any of that, there's the possibility that none of these prayers would have ever been answered. I want you to hear me when I say this, and I'm almost done, by the way. Prayer is the most powerful thing that you have in your arsenal. I want you to always remember that prayer, your prayer, moves the hand that moves the world. This altar is going to be open. And I don't care about anything else in this room. I don't want you to care about anything else in this room. The only thing you need to be concentrating on is where your relationship is with God. What's your prayer life? If you need to get that relationship back where it needs to be, this is as good a place as any this is as good a time as any. He's waiting. He wants it. And He created you for it. Let us pray. Dear Father God, Lord, I thank You so much for prayer. Lord, I thank You so much for allowing us to have that open communication with You, Lord. I thank You that it allows us to build that relationship that we need with You, Lord, to sustain our lives, Lord. That in our deepest, darkest times, Lord, that You're there. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today, number one, that doesn't know Christ as Lord and Savior, that today will be that day. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that their relationship and their prayer life is not where it needs to be, that Lord, today's the day. We turn it all around, Lord. But Lord, I just pray Your will in the rest of this. Lord, I just thank You so much for loving all of us the way that You do. Lord, we just give You the praise, the honor, and the glory for all. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.